Thank you, folks. Ms. Paula. Life is. You know, we find ourselves today in a situation that the majority of us, well, I don't know that any of us have ever witnessed such a decline in moral standards in our country and throughout the world. We're looking today at the fall of the heart of man. We're looking today at evil persevering seemingly completely over what is good. We call that which is good evil. We call that which is evil good. And the generation is ready to step off the edge of the world. Well, preacher, I guess you still think it's flat. When it comes to that, it's flat. And we have stepped into the sewage of Satan's trap. We have moved away from common sense and have decided that that which produces the most for our benefit makes sense for us to get involved with, whether it be right or whether it be wrong. So when I'm talking about life is, dot, 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 or life is raising the next generation, you've heard me say many, many times, one generation away from paganism. I would say today that we're about a quarter of a generation away, because too many who want to do what is right are afraid to do what is right because of the condemnation that they will receive from the world. We have found ourselves in the United States of America watching the greatest of all nations being sent to the cesspool of life. What are we going to do about it? Well, I wanted you to have something today. It's the reason I wanted you to have your printouts. But I want you to have something that's very important. That's the Word of God. That's those scripture verses. The Word of God and the story behind it. Raising the next generation. You and I, adults, children who are adults to be, you and I have the responsibility to do what is right. To do what is right in the eyes of God, and to do God's work in the eyes of those who are watching us. Great responsibility raising children. Awesome responsibility. And the Lord says, you bring them to me and I will place in their heart the wisdom they need. You make sure they hear the stories of Jesus. Well, you know, I want my children to, you know, just to make up their own mind. Don't you worry, they will. You see, that's a freedom God gives them. But you, parent, you have the responsibility to see to it that you feed that mind with pure food. God says, it's my word. You give them my word, I'll take care of the rest of it. You tell them what I have to say for their life, I will take care of their life. You be responsible like God has called you to be, because you're one generation away from losing your family. You're one generation away. Something I have noticed in my years in ministry, folks, it amazes me at how awesome our young folk of the day really are. We've got a group of people, young people, in this nation and across the world that are looking for truth. And they have caught on that man has a tendency to trick them, to lie to them, or not tell them the whole truth. Not telling the whole truth is the same as a lie. And God says, I want you to realize, adult, that you're responsible to make sure your family is fed well with pure food. And by the way, I'll give you the food. I'll give you the word. I will watch after your children. I will pay attention to your family. I will direct you. I'll give you strength. I'll give you courage. I'll give you healing. God had given us and given us and given us. What have we given back to Him? Do we take the blessings that God had given us and use them for our own personal benefit or for the benefit of others? Do we tell the lost and dying world a story of Jesus? There's a lot of stories in that book called the Bible. There's a lot of history in that book called the Bible. There's a lot of life in that book called the Bible. There's a lot of love in that book called the Bible. And that's personal love. Joshua took over after God buried Moses. That's always interesting to me. And God buried Moses. Nobody knows where, but we do have the word that God buried Moses. Then Joshua comes along, chosen by God. And Joshua led the Hebrew nation. But something happened. During that period of time, parents quit telling the stories of the Bible. They quit telling the stories of God's greatness. They quit praying with their children. They quit looking in the direction of what is good, and instead they looked in the direction of what was plenty. And their own eyes. And the scripture says this. And speaking of Joshua's generation, this is Judges 2 verse 10. After that generation died, Joshua's, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things He had done. So we are told by the word of God that the generation that is not taught will not know how to carry on God's word. A generation that is kept away from God's house will not know the direction to God's house. That generation is our responsibility. And God said, I want you to accept that responsibility. And then He said, I want you to know this. Children are a gift from God. King David had lost his first son with Bathsheba, even through the weeping and begging of God to forgive him for his sin. God took the son. But then God gave him another son. This would be the one that would rebuild a temple. This would be the son known as the wisest on earth. His name was Solomon. And God gives to David Solomon. And here's what King David said. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. You have to look at your children as a blessing from God. Love them as a blessing from God. Feed them as they are a blessing from God. Bless them in the name of their Savior. Give them the tools for life. It starts in their heart. Introduce them to the Word. Let them know that you care. Let them know that they're not too young, or you're going to hear that in a minute. Parents, you pay attention to something. God says, children are a blessing from me. I'll give you a child. God gives. And do you know something? We all know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't you understand that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away just to make sure that they're protected till we get together again? Don't you know you have not lost, but you have gained? You do not know the ways of the world, but God does. God knows the bad wreck around the corner. God knows the brokenness that a person can go through, and God makes the decision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Count your child as a blessing. Children are examples of how God receives us into heaven. Now please, parents, if parents here in our church, our congregation, please don't say to your pastor, I think they're too young. That's not biblical. As a matter of fact, out of the mouth of a babe is the wisdom of life. I want you to listen to something here. Matthew 19, verse 14. But Brother Larry, I want them to know what they're doing. Well, how old are you? Well, I'm almost 50. I mean, she was 55. I'm almost 50. Do you know everything yet? I don't know about the scripture. I know about the scripture that God places in my heart, and I know that God's word will lead me through the path of life. But pay attention to this. We got Matthew 19, verse 14. Jesus had called a little children to him. He jumped his disciples. Folks, he chewed them out. Let those children come to me. The disciples were trying to say, yeah, you kids get out of here. Jesus heard them. And Jesus straightened it out real quick. Let them come. And then he gave a lesson on it. Matthew 19, 14. Don't stop children from coming to me. Children like these, he's pointing to them, are part of the kingdom of God. And then in Luke 18, 17, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Or if you're in Old English, verily, verily, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Man, I had to become as a child. How is that? By faith. A faith that I am going to live. Faith that God is going to see to it that I'm raised. Faith that God is in charge of my life. But as a child, I didn't know what to have faith in. But I did know Jesus. And I knew that in that name there was power. And the Lord says how great these children are. And looking at the adults and said, by the way, Now, I've got to watch myself. I'll start paraphrasing. But he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And we dare tell a child, you don't know enough? When the child says, I want to accept Jesus, how about letting Jesus do the training of that child? How about letting Jesus raise that child? How about you getting on your face and admitting you don't know the answers, but you know the one who does? That's important because we're responsible for raising the next generation coming up. What are we telling them? What do they see? What do they hear? Does the world have such influence, more so than the church? I dare say yes. The church in our generation has lost its power and lost its authority. Do you know why? Because of the same thing that's going on in Washington, D.C. and in all politics. Graft and man's evil ways rather than the Word of God being taught. And we see corruption everywhere. The child is raised in the middle of watching the corruption. What do we do, parents at home? Do we not lead them in the right direction and tell them that's wrong? Maybe we should listen to more of them when they're looking and telling us, Daddy, that's not right, is it? Oh, what a blessing that is to know that God is touching the heart of that child. God says, this is your assignment. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you an assignment, parent, that is so important. Your child is so important to me. Your children are so important to me. I'm going to assign special angels just to watch over them. Matthew 18, verse 10. Beware that you do not despise or feel scornful to word or think little of these little ones. This is Jesus talking, people. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always, always, always are in the presence of my Father who is in heaven. God puts that much emphasis on a child. And we dare turn our head in the state of Kentucky when we know the sex trafficking of children runs right through the middle of it. And we don't want it brought out because we don't know what to do. I tell you where you can start. Lock up the violators. Put them where they can't touch a child. Oh, but what about their rights? What about the judgment that awaits anyone who allows a child to be harmed when you could have stopped it? Better be in prayer for that one, because God is paying attention. To welcome a child is to welcome Jesus. To welcome a child is to welcome Jesus. Matthew 18, verse 5. And whoever welcomes a little child like this, he's pointing to these kids. He said, I want you all to get this straight. In my name, welcomes me. You welcome that child in my name, you're welcoming me. I like all of Jesus in me that I can get in me. And he says, I'm sending you an innocent spirit. And when God entrusts to your care an innocent child, God is paying attention to what you are teaching them. God is paying attention to your heart for them. And God gives the warnings as he continues to look on. In Matthew 18:6, Jesus says this, "But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." That's a nasty death. But you'd be better off than to bring one offense against the child. Oh, when all heaven is looking on, angels are assigned, God is watching, you, adult, better pay attention, because God has given us the warning and he's pointing to our responsibility as adults. If we claim to be adults, we need to act like adults. We need to know that God will give us the courage, the boldness, the wisdom, the strength of any situation that child finds himself in. Tell God on them. Tell God on the violators. And pray that God has mercy. He already has mercy on the children. But oh my, folks, you cannot imagine the punishment. It is not within your mind the punishment that is there for a person who leads even in the wrong direction, a child. Pay attention. Because now these are numbered for you in your printouts. I want you to know how to help a child. You ready? Offer them acceptance. When you walk in that room and you look at that child, you'll always see certain personality of children. You can tell they're hurting. You can tell they don't feel like they belong. Good gracious, I grew up feeling that. You can tell that they just, well, they're sort of by themselves. You are commanded by God to explain to them how important they are to the creator of this world. You are given the responsibility to reach out and accept them for who they are, as they are. I remember the age 12. I hated 12. I mean, my ears were great big, poked out like this. My teeth were too big for my face. That was the age when the teacher would ask, "Larry, what's 2 plus 2? And you look up, because you know the answer. You look up, and you don't even know where you are. Have you ever been there? I mean, they've asked you a simple question. You don't have any idea where that answer went. You know it was up here somewhere, but it's hiding, and you feel so small, and you can feel your face getting red, but nobody comes to your defense. What I'm saying, adult, come to their defense. Yeah. One of the greatest blessings you'll ever give someone is you take the hit for them. You take the hit for them. If it was me as an adult and the child, I could see that they wasn't coming up with it, the answer. I said, "Well, 2 plus 2, that's easy, it's 5. I'd make a kid feel good and wouldn't care what the adult who put them in that situation thought. But think of it. help them to be accepted. Number two, offer them guidance. Let's go figure this problem out. Come on, let's go figure the problem out and sit down and take time and with love to make that child feel accepted. If, adult, you are so smart, then you've got plenty to give away. You help that child or they're not embarrassed. Psalm 34, verse 11, offer them guidance. Children, come and listen to me. I will teach you to worship the Lord. You got it? I will teach you to worship the Lord, teaching them the prayer. Now they'll lay me down to sleep. Boy, I've heard that prayer in so many different ways. I think, what prayer popped that one in there? Man, that's neat. I like that. And that's exactly what it takes. Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide these truths from our children, but will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. The next generation needs to hear the glorious deeds from the Lord. So therefore, I will tell them, Proverbs 22, verse 6, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their life. Now, raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. I think that's the Old English version of that. Means the very same thing. My responsibility is to teach it and to keep it on the mind of that child. They may be 70 years old and all of a sudden they pop their eyes open and say, I know what that means now. Some of us are a little slow. I know what that means. And we teach and love. We have the concern. We will accept. We will guide. We will always be there. Well, what if the child is wrong? There's no what if about it. A child is going to be wrong. Probably not as much as you are, but they're going to be wrong because, you see, they have such a desire to please. They want to please mom and dad. They want to please the adults in their life. They want to be accepted, not just from their peers, but from anybody, because they look at everybody as superior to them. The fact is, they're not. But that's how a child looks. A child sees, oh, these are all the smart ones. The smart ones know how to love. The smart ones know how to care. The smart ones know how to give. Criticize? Well, if you can't criticize with love to the point that nobody knows you're criticizing them, don't criticize. You lift up, don't push down. If something is wrong, show the right way. Lead without embarrassing. Touch with a love from Christ, because that child will feel that kind of touch. Make sure that you pay attention to the heart of that child, because God does. He's watching that heart continually. But kids need correcting. They need correcting. They don't need beatings. Oh, I remember well. Some parents just do not have any sense when it comes to spanking or when it comes to correcting, because they lose their temper. What if I count to 10? I'm not going to give any of my spanking. By that time, I'm cooled off. That in itself tells you, don't do something in anger, for it will be wrong. Listen to, offer them correction. Proverbs 10, verse 17, whoever abides by discipline walks towards life. Whoever ignores correction goes astray. Folks, you don't have to beat somebody to correct somebody. You don't have to, because of your own temperament, go off when you could have went on the inside of that heart with love. God bless him, Jason didn't have a shot with his daddy, because and I never lifted a hand at him. But I didn't have to. All I had to do is look at him. I mean, it was that look. Well, you all know, Joey, the ones our wives gives us. You know, you get that look. You get that look. And it would melt his heart. But it's correction. It's making sure that in love you correct. How many times have you felt Jesus hit you upside the head? Huh? Now, I don't read it in the book either. So you really think that's going to work? Well, spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod of correction, people. Beat them to death. I'm not talking about a little spank on the hand. When they're getting ready to get burned on the stove, you slap that little fella. But you do it in love. And most of every one of you here, I guarantee you, you'd slap that hand because you're so afraid they're just about to burn themselves, pull that skillet off and all of that. And the rest of the day, it's all you're doing, holding that little hand. You know, mama sorry, daddy sorry. Because you had to make it sting to give them the feeling of it. That's love. That's care. That's concern. Proverbs 9:19-18. Discipline your child while they are young enough to learn. If you don't, you are helping them destroy themselves. Tell them the difference between right and wrong. Teach them. Discipline them, you know, and don't you tell them that sin's not fun. That's a lie, and you know it when you're saying it. That's why they get caught up into it when in the world. You keep them at home, and you protect them, you lock them down, you do all of this stuff, and you know, they get a certain age, 18 years old, okay, you're out into the thorn thicket of life. And they have no idea of what to do because they never were allowed to make the mistakes. Let them make those mistakes. Don't, and you'd rather see them make those mistakes with you there to help them go through those mistakes? Don't you see that's parenting? That's loving. Number four. Oh, this is very important to me. This is the one where my wife grabs my arm when we're in a grocery store or something, and I hear somebody going off on their child. Don't you do that. You get a... Here it is. Proverbs 31, verse 8. Speak up for people who cannot speak for themselves. Protect the rights of all who are helpless. Old or young. Protect the rights of all who are helpless. That is doing it the right way. I love children helping me preach. You all don't know what the blessing that is to me. Kids get it. So therefore, if they're vulnerable, you want God's protection around you, you want to see him really doing something, you stand up for the underdog, for the child that has no one to stand up for him. Don't you write that child off. Don't you dare kill that unborn. Don't you dare. For their angels are reporting to God continually. Number five, offer a child help to find what they need. I didn't know what I needed growing up. I didn't know that. I didn't know growing up there was healthy food. I never heard it. I wasn't raised on healthy food. Gravy and biscuits. That kind of health stuff. Fried chicken. Mashed taters. Gravy. All that good old fixing. I didn't know about health food. But I learned something in life. I'm glad that I've learned a few things. You see, you can't help if you yourself don't know. You can't change and help the heart of a child or anyone who is hurting if you haven't been trained yourself in how to help them. Now, I'll admit, I spoil kids. I spoil them in love. Not disrespect. I'll let them hear me real quick when they get, if they get that way. But I'm talking about, I love to see their eyes sparkle. I love to see the smile. I love to hear little Ellie help me preach sometimes. I love that. Those are the heartbeats of Christ himself. He sends us those little voices to make a difference. But he also tells you, you have an awesome responsibility. I'm trusting my children to you. What are you going to do with that? You know how to treat them? Then treat them that way. Let me do five here. Offer a child help to find what they need. Now, I would say I offer them a home, but you can't do that in this generation. You have to pay attention to the generation. There's so much illegal activity that is going on out there and all, but here's what you can do. You can offer them the organization that does. And I'm not talking about trusting kids to the government. I'm talking about trusting the adult population of people who care for those children and telling God that they got them. When the poor cried out, Job is saying this in Job 29:12, I helped them. I gave help to orphans who had nowhere to turn. It has always been this way. God said, this is life where you take care of the weak. Those who don't have help, I'm giving you what it takes to help them. So help. James 1, verse 27, first part. What God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion, that's meaning acting out what you say you believe, is this, to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering. Folks, used to be in the day I was growing up, the orphanage meant that they had neither parent in their life, or they had their mom and dad were dead. Not anymore. Many are orphans and they've got both parents. But they have been orphaned. because of the greed and the selfishness of those parents. You then, who are the stranger to that child for now, will be assigned by God to be the guardian for that child, to help them to grow. How will you know that you're the pick? Because you're put in touch with them. God will see to it that things work out to where you're there. You know what's going on. You know that you can help. Then when you do, you help. I guarantee you, you'll never outgive the Lord in any way, shape, or fashion. The spiritual truth behind adoption is dear to me. The spiritual truth behind adoption is this: I am adopted. I am adopted. I'm adopted by God the Father. Listen to this. God adopted me to be a part of His forever family. You see those advertisements on TV about finding a dog and a forever home, or an animal, a forever home? God adopted me to be a part of His forever family. Ephesians 1:5. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. It's always been that. Always. Larry, you're going to be my son. Doesn't matter whether your family wants you or not. I know a Savior who does. I know a Savior that'll even send you a mom and dad with skin on them, where they look just like you, to help you in the times of your raising, as you're growing up, how important that is. But the big key to all of this is, I've been adopted. Christian, you've been adopted. God picked you. Woo! You got that? You know, you got people telling you, you know, your personality, I just don't like that personality. I don't like anything about you, Larry Vance. I don't like this and I don't like that. And do you know what God says? I love you. Now, who you think I'm going to serve? God tells you and I, we have the responsibility. Accept your responsibility. And you watch after these children. For the next generation is the answer to whether or not this nation and the world will survive much longer, because God has told us so. Whatever the calling in your life, one I can assure you is a part of that, what is a part of that calling is to watch after those who have no help, nobody to look after them. God wills it so. That's God's word. Doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you for your touch. Thank you, dear Lord God, for moving in our heart. Thank you for giving us your word, the direction. Thank you for the training for us, dear Lord God, that we might be about your business in all that we do. Thank you, Father, for that special touch that only you can give when we have that special need. Touch us now. Let us draw closer to one another. Give us that connection that gives us hope for tomorrow. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a very special message God had put in my heart for the need of our country today, for the need of the world. Folks, people are going to have to start loving. People must begin to step up and say, that's wrong.